KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. You're listening to Radio Orbit. I'll be back with you in just a few minutes. KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Good evening to y'all. My name is Mike Hagan. You're listening to Radio Orbit, and it's a pleasure to be with y'all tonight. Whoever you might be, wherever you might be as you listen to this radio program, we do it up, all right? 89.5 FM, KOPN Columbia, on the web at kopn.org. Thanks to all of you for listening to the program and for supporting the radio station, community radio here in mid-Missouri and worldwide. Once again, on the web, kopn.org. My name is Mike Hagan, and I'll be with you for the next few hours. It's a pleasure, okay? Just you and me tonight, and a lot of things to share with you, so stick around and hang on, all right? Okay, before all the fun, though, let's do our duties and say a quick thank you to Corey, New Wave Radio Theater. Every week before this program, 1 hour ahead of it, 10 p.m., we have Corey doing New Wave Radio Theater. And she'll be with you again next week, okay? Kelvin and Eric before that, Jazz plus Blues equals the end of the line. Tech Radio, keeping us up on the crazed and novel landscape of high technology. And Jeff Wheeler starts things off every Monday from 3 to 5 p.m. with Uncommon Light, good music, good talk, good news, Righteous Radio. On another Monday night, moon's still big but waning. And you're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, your imagination station. It's good to be here with y'all, okay? All right, thanks to everybody who participated and joined in the program last week. Thanks to all of you. And always cool to talk to John Sheliak. Great fun with John last week. And we had some good music as well from a band called the Bean Growers from the island of Malta. So the whole program, really fun last week, and I was glad to be able to share it with you. We'll make a mention of the musicians that are on the program. You can always check them out on the website at www.mikehagan, H-A-G-A-N, MuseArchives.com. Just click on through to the Music Archives, okay? If you missed the program last week, or any other for that matter, you can always hear them from the program archives. There's an MP3 of all but one or two of the programs that you can download and podcast and share with your friends or whatever. They're all up there on the web. Like I say, give or take one or two of them. Mike Hagan, HAGAN.com. Again, click over to the program archives and see what you find there that you might like. And if you do, share it with somebody else, okay? All right, tonight it's just you and me. And I got some news that I need to talk with you about, but not just yet. Got to get my courage up for that. And so I think I'll play another tune here for you. And it's from our featured band of the night. They're called Blind Melon. And they were one of my favorite bands in the 1990s and came to a early conclusion, I guess. A lot of people thought they had a lot more work to do. And shortly after the release of their second album, the young man who was the primary force of that band, his name was Shannon Hoon. He died October, I think, 1995. And anyway, he was remarkable, and the band was great. And I'm going to play some music from them for you tonight, okay? The CD that I'm drawing all this stuff from is sort of a bootleg, hijacked CD, and it I don't think that many of the songs that are on this disc were ever released on the two studio albums that, that Blind Melon released. The first one, it was called Blind Melon, and the second one was called Soup. At any rate, I don't know what the names of any of these songs are, but they're all fantastic, and I've never heard them on their production and released CDs. So, anyway, I hope you enjoy it. We'll hear Blind Melon, some really rare stuff throughout the program tonight, and sort of dedicate this program to Shannon Hoon and also my friend Hyde Hibbard, who passed away on the 21st of June back in 1996, shortly after Shannon Hoon passed away, maybe 9 months thereafter. So at any rate, for Shannon, for Hyde, it's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia. This is Blind Melon. Once again, Blind Melon. You're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan, and you're listening to Radio Orbit. Okay, let's see. Hello, I guess, to everybody out there listening to us this evening on KOPN, over the traditional airwaves or over the Internet, live or otherwise. For 4 years, we've been broadcasting this program from the wonderful studios here at KOPN in lovely downtown Columbia, Missouri. And we stream the show live on the web at kopn.org. You just click on the Listen Live button anytime you like, and you get a nice 64K stream any place on the planet. All you need is a decent Internet connection, okay? All right, thanks to everybody who makes that happen, live here in the studio and on the Internet as well, okay? Speaking of the web, I'd like to thank Clay and Nick for their work on the website. Also, my good friend Larry Norger, who did a tremendous amount of work on the site for the first couple, 3 years that we were doing stuff. Larry's sort of doing his own thing these days, but certainly appreciate everything Larry did for me and the program here, okay? Also, the forum and the chat room, all the people that are participating and helping out there, thanks, okay? All right, the people who always have sent music and artwork and all the stuff that we feature up there on the website, thank you to all of you. It's been a pleasure to have all that stuff up there and available for me to see and other people as well. Okay, I appreciate it. And for those of you unfamiliar, you can click over to Mike Hagan, HAGAN.com, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. All right. If you want to share thoughts, that's easy as well. Once again, I said there's a forum and a chat room that's always active and up, and I encourage everybody to use that whenever they feel the need or the gumption, I guess. And you can always do it via electronic mail as well. My email address, orbitradio, O-R-B-I-T-R-A-D-I-O, orbitradio, at AOL.com. Send email. I appreciate it, and I'd be glad to respond to you, okay? Once again, the website, Mike Hagan, M-I-K-E-H-A-G-A-N, and you got to put it .com after that, okay? MikeHagan.com. All right, it is about 20 minutes or so after the hour of 11 p.m. on the 23rd of June, 2008. Just me and you tonight. I'll open the phone lines actually starting pretty much right now, and anybody who would like to call and talk between now and 2 o'clock my time, that's about 2 hours and 40 minutes or so from now, be glad to talk with you all tonight on the telephone, and I'll try to keep my eye over there on the little green flashing light. Sometimes people call, and I actually don't pay attention to the phone, and then, you know, I don't answer, and then they get frustrated. So anyway, I'll try to keep my eye on the phone over there. And if you'd like to call and talk this evening, the area code and number, are 573-443-8255. That's 573-443-8255. If you call that number, you can get on the air with me here and talk about anything you like, okay? All right. There are a number of announcements that I have to make, and see, first thing I'd like to talk about, well, I guess I should give the telephone a chance here. Wow, saved by the bell. Well, almost. Whoever it was that was calling, feel free to call back. All right, once again, that number 573-443-8255. Okay, 573-443-8255. All right, so lots of news tonight, the big news, and here goes. Tonight is the end of the road for the show. This is going to be the last program that I do as such. I don't know if Radio Orbit will be recreated somewhere down the road, and we'll come back and do something different. But for now, the show has run its course, as they say. And I'll talk a little bit more about it as we move through the program tonight. Like I said, it's just the two of us, so I'll try to do my best to share my thoughts and impulses and motivations for making that decision. But you know, it's been sort of coming for a little bit of time, I guess, and anyway, now it's here. So tonight, officially, June 23rd, 2008, the final episode, as it were. Radio Orbit's going to finish things up tonight, and I'm sure the radio station will come up with something else to put into this spot here from 11 till 2 on Monday nights. Probably have some you know, people sitting in for a few weeks playing music or something like that, and then, you know, the ball will keep rolling, and the next thing will get an opportunity to do its thing during this time slot on Monday nights, which I've enjoyed so much over the last few years. So anyway, I have a tremendous amount of mixed feelings about the whole thing, but it's this time. And, you know, as I say often enough on this program, nothing lasts forever. And this is an example of that in sort of the real world, at least, you know, really in my world and in your world, the people who enjoy this program. So, at any rate, I'm not going to dwell on it particularly now, maybe a little bit later in the program. I'm sure as we roll along, I'll be reminiscing and, you know, sharing more about why I'm doing what I'm doing and what I think is going on and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, for what it's worth, okay? All right, the website will remain up, and I'll keep the forum going and all that. We just won't be doing the radio show any longer. And, of course, the archives will remain available. And that's where the value in this program is anyway at this point, I think. The archives are where it's at. And, frankly, I don't think any more is required. I think it's all there. Cyberspaceorbit.com. This is Ken Stedman's website, which I've recently inherited. I spent the weekend with his family, well, at least a number of members of his family, his wife Wendy, and Brian and Leah, a couple of his children. And we've talked a lot about what's going on with the website as well. And I think that probably about 90% certain of this, that Orbit is going to get frozen in time as well. And a big part of this is that, you know, Wendy and I were speaking about cyberspaceorbit.com, and I said to her, I made a comment that it was a little bit frustrating to me because I'm getting a tremendous amount of email from people that want me to cover this story or that story, and you know, to their credit, you know, I appreciate it. It's great and interesting stuff, no doubt. However, it's all been covered, and I find myself always just directing back to the Cyberspace Orbit archives. You know, people want to find information about this or that or the other thing. Every time I say, well, yes, it's an interesting story. However, you know, Kent covered that extensively back in 2001, and you can check out the archives here and find all the information that you're trying to get me to post again. And I've been actively at least filtering and reading the email that comes to through cyberspaceorbit.com now since the end of April. And as much as I appreciate all of the information that is coming from people out there in the greater world, I have yet to receive a story that has not been covered at some point in the past on that same website. And I find myself reluctant to repost stuff. I feel like it muddies the water in a way. It's already there. It's already been done. And if not all of the information that you're looking for is there, it will certainly point you in the right directions to go get anything else that you might need. So anyway, with regard to Cyberspace Orbit, and I think it was indicative and intimated through Kent's death. When Kent left us, it was a way of saying, I'm done with that work. And it's funny, when I was talking with Wendy this weekend, I expressed this to her. I said, you know, I feel like Kent did all of the stuff that people are asking me to do right now. It's all there. It's already there somewhere. It's buried deep in the bowels of cyberspaceorbit.com, but easily accessible through the search engine. And, you know, it's there. And Wendy made a comment to me, which lightened my heart, actually. And she said, Mike, she said, for almost 2 years, Ken had been telling me the same thing, that it's done. It's done. There's no need to continue it. You know, the information that I've wanted to get out there is all out there, and it's easily accessible. And she said, yeah, he was through with it. But, and this is something that he never shared with me. As close as we were, he never shared this with me. But he told Wendy, and he said, you know, but every time I get ready to do it, I tell, you know, a few people here, there, or wherever, and I get an onslaught of, you know, requests to not stop, to continue. And so he did. He just did. And, but I understand now what he was saying to Wendy, because now I'm the one that's inherited it. And I understand exactly what he was saying, that it's there. And like a work of art, like a painting, at some point the artist has to say, okay, the painting is done, and write his name or her name at the bottom of the painting, put the signature on, you know, and then be done with it. And so tonight, I guess, is my signing of this particular painting. It's been 4 years of just a remarkable and incredible, amazing experiences that I've been able to share with you. You know, I've been able to talk to my heroes, essentially, and give them a forum to share the things that they have to share in an environment that's not hostile. I tried my best to create an environment for my guests that was not hostile, that regardless of what they were trying to say, they would not be attacked. And I'm so thrilled to have been able to do it and to talk to the people that I have been able to talk to. You know, there's, I don't know, probably 200 or so different interviews there in the archives. And you know, every one of them, I think, has something worthwhile in it, and some of them have many worthwhile nuggets in them. And anyway, in the same way that I think Kent was looking at cyberspace orbit, that's sort of the way that I'm looking at radio orbit, that I've spoken to all of the people that I want to speak to, many of them, you know, multiple times. I've shared the ideas that I wanted to share, ideas that were important to me, and I've done my best to, you know, to spread information that I thought was important to spread, and, you know, shared a lot of great music, and now it's time to do something else. You know, I don't want to become redundant. And I don't want to turn into just another huckster radio host who'll talk to anybody who's got a book for sale. I'm interested in authenticity and legitimacy. I assure you, if you take the time to check out the people who have been on this program, maybe not 100% of them, but, you know, 95%. I'm honored and privileged and, you know, absolutely blessed to have been able to share the time that I spent with them, because I really do think that the people who have been on this program are doing great work. I spoke to everybody because I really thought they had something to say. I made a few mistakes along the way, and I had a handful of guests that I probably wouldn't have on the program again if I could do it again. But even they, you know, probably added something for someone. And I do not judge any of these programs, because it is like art, and you don't really have any say on the way your art affects those who observe it or listen to it or whatever. You know, artwork sort of takes on its own life, and I learned very early that, you know, I thought I did a program that was, you know, bad, or I didn't like the way it went or whatever. And then it turned out I get all kinds of email about that show, about how great it was and how much it was appreciated. And I think, wow, that's strange. Then I did other shows where I thought, man, that's the best damn show I have ever done. It was flawless and great music. And, oh, my God, the guest was kick-ass. And then I get nothing. Nobody even responds. And so you never really know how the audience is going to respond to you or your guests or the program in general. And so all those shows, every single one of them, you know, I'm glad that I did them. And I hope that they proliferate themselves out there on the Internet, you know. I encourage anybody who'd like, you know, to share them, because it's easy to do now. And I actually got a real cool email from a man who's in Australia, I think, recently, and he's doing some work on the podcast and making them more accessible through different RSS search engines and a lot of different things. So anyway, people can do whatever they like with the programs. I'm not into the intellectual property side of it. As far as I'm concerned, you know, they are the property of the world, and some of the information that was included in, you know, these interviews that we've done over the course of these last 4 years is information that I'd love, you know, to be shared with the world and have more people on this planet be aware of some of these things. So at any rate, do what you will and share as you like. Okay. All right. So the websites, we'll figure out exactly how we're going to proceed. But for the most part, I think they're going to get frozen in time. As they are now, as they stand tonight, they will probably stay about that way. Of course, the forum on my website will keep that up and running as long as people are interested and want to keep posting material there. I'm perfectly happy to keep the forum up and running. And, you know, that's basically it, all right? All right, we had a great celebration this weekend on Saturday at my place at Ashley and my place in Roachport. And we do this celebration every year around the summer solstice. And we did it this last Saturday, just a couple nights ago. And everybody that came out during the day, all through the night, and my friend Kristen was the last person to arrive at the party, and she got there at about 5 a.m. on Sunday morning, just as the last people were finally getting their act together and leaving. So it was very funny. We began to host guests at around noon on Saturday, and like I said, Kristen showed up at 5 a.m. Sunday morning. She didn't stay long. But in between those 17 hours, just a great, great time and a blast, and all kinds of great music and conversation and comedy. We had a 10-year-old kid that was doing stand-up. We had a nice little PA set up thanks to my friend Matt Presti out there in, he's in southeastern Missouri working up in St. Louis, but Matt's awesome. He's been on the program a number of times. He's a great musician but also a very talented sound guy. And so he brought a really sweet little PA system and some mics, and we had the capability to have, you know, at least three instruments plugged in at any given time with mics, and we had some great music and just a total celebration, as it's supposed to be. And lots of very interesting people were there, including some guests that have appeared on the program. And anyway, everybody who was there, thanks so much for coming, and I hope you all had as good a time as I did, and I hope you remember as much as I did. I'm sure some of you won't. Hey, by the way, the phone lines are open, 573-443-8255, if you'd like to call and talk, or I'll be pleased to chat with you. 573-443-8255, that's if you want to call in and get on the air here and talk with me anytime tonight. Okay, I'll leave the phones open all night. I'll just have to keep my eyes open on that on the little button that flashes. It's hard for me to see, and I think people call in and then I miss them. because I've heard that I do that. They're like, hey, I call, but nobody answered the phone. I'm like, oh, shoot, I must not have seen the flashing light. So, all right, anyway, the party at the Shire this weekend was great, and thanks to everybody who came out and made it happen, and musicians in particular. It was such a great music scene that's happening here in Columbia, and it's been just such a blast to be a part of it, you know, and to be able to have friends that are in the scene and that are making great music come over and, you know, and share it with us. And on Saturday, it was just extraordinary, just great stuff. You know, Ruth from Rutherford, her and her husband, Jeff, were over there. You should come over every year, but they came over and Ruth did a little acoustic set around midnight, which was just spellbinding. I mean, the woman is just outrageous, and she's just got the most beautiful voice, and is a wonderful songwriter, too. So we heard Ruth sing Kent's daughter, Leah Stedman. Kent's daughter, what an amazing voice. I had no idea that she could sing the way she could sing. And she sang a couple songs for us. My friend John from Colorado was there, and he was playing guitar for hours and hours, and he was just fantastic. I played a couple songs myself and played a little guitar. Oh, gosh, Johnny and Andy from the Hoot and Hollers showed up late. We had all the guys from Zap in and out during the day and then back again after midnight. Oh, I'm forgetting many, and I apologize. But for everyone who was there, just thanks. And my neighbors who I'm fortunate enough to share this wonderful part of the world with, all of them who came over and hung out with us. Thanks to all you guys, all right? Okay, say, I mentioned Hyde Hibbard, Frederick Hyde Hibbard, my friend. He passed on the 21st of June, 1996, 12 years ago, and he was a wonderful young man, went before his time, but sticking around in ways I can only imagine. And he had a dog named Bennett, who I have a feeling is with him now, along with my old dog Elwood. I think they're all sort of tromping around in cyberspace together. So anyway, here's to all of them, Frederick Hyde Hibbert in particular, 12 years ago, my friend, Aho. All right, also today we had the news of George Carlin, the remarkable comedian who's been doing just great work for decades now. But George Carlin passed away today, and I thought that it was a shame, first of all, because I think he's just brilliant and not only funny, but also, you know, very smart and very capable of exposing problematic components and parts of our culture and society that many people are very uncomfortable looking at. And he was able to do it in a way that was absolutely hysterical, but cutting as well, and intelligent and smart. And he was just a maverick and a wild man, an absolute crazy person who was willing to just, you know, go anywhere and talk about anything that that he thought was relevant and important. And my God, he was so funny. He just was amazing. And he was a real rebel. You know, he was about as anti-establishment as you could get, and still remain in the establishment. You know, artists, and he was an artist. Artists have somehow they get a free pass of some sort. Culture allows artists, you know, the additional boundaries to do things and say things that aren't really accepted from, you know, your mainstream worker bee type people. And Carlin took full advantage of that, and he was absolutely amazing. And I actually think about Tim Russert. You know, this guy Tim Russert, the newsman from the Sunday morning, you know, talk shows, and been in the media news business for about as long as Carlin had been doing stand-up. And, you know, they were both baby boomers, and they were both representative of significant parts of their generation. And they were absolute antithetical opposites of one another. You know, Tim Russert, as praised as he was, you know, by the mainstream media for, you know, a couple of weeks after his death, he was an establishment, institutionalized guy. You know, he didn't rock the boat. That's how you get where he got. You don't get there by being you know, a wonderful investigative journalist who tells the truth all the time. You get there by toeing the line, essentially. And, you know, he was good at it and all that, and he is a good representation of media personalities. Unfortunately, you know, if you get down to the truth of the matter, it really had not much to do with news and the truth, and that's unfortunate for everybody, that journalism and the news, as it is peddled, you know, on the television, CNN, NBC, MSNBC, Fox, etc., they're all the same, and they're all essentially, you know, propagandists, and, you know, run by people with agendas that would stand your hair on end. And we've covered lots of that stuff extensively on this program, and I say it, you know, right in the middle of one of the big popular and most well-respected journalism cities in the country. This school we have here, the University of Missouri Journalism School, the J School here, as they call it. Well, you know, I mean, I've been here for a number of years. I've been in the media. I've been doing radio. I've been watching what these people do and what they say and what they print. And I can tell you that, you know, they're not anything astonishing. They don't report the important news. It seems very clear that newspapers in general, news media in general, except for the private media that, you know, that pops up on the internet that anybody can become, bloggers, etc. And a lot of that is crap as well, of course. You know, discernment is the key these days. But I don't see anybody really covering the most important stuff. There are certain litmus tests that that I have now, and they're very powerful ones. 9/11, of course, is one. And if you're a journalist or a news organization that has not or is not willing to address the problems with the 9/11 story, well, then you should go do something else. I mean, because you haven't covered the most important or one of the most important stories of the last decade. You know, we're going on 7 years now, and the media, for the most part, continues to toe the line, the official story, and not question people who need to be questioned. You know, over the last year or so of the program, I was very interested in the HIV/AIDS story, and many of you were as well. And I did my best to tell the truth about it and to show the evidence where it leads and what it says. And I found out, much to my chagrin, through that research and that work, that no one, and I can say that, I don't have to say very few, I can literally say that no one in the media, including local media, national media, international media, television, radio, you know, print, you name it, and you can include all government officials, local, regional, national, you know, everybody up to the vice president, all of our local and state representatives, all of the local media, all of the major media nationally, you know, I mean, I have access to all of them, and thousands and thousands of communications, including absolutely, you know, remarkable documentation, and not one person was willing to cover the HIV/AIDS story. And, you know, it's a really sad statement about the state of journalism, not only in the country, but in the world, really. There really is something going on. I mean, I'm not much for conspiracy, really. I understand that there are conspiracies, and some which are big and powerful, for sure. And there are all kinds of gangs, you know, essentially, that are running around trying their hardest to, you know, to rule the world. I've never been convinced that there's one overarching gang one overarching conspiracy that controls all others. I've never believed that, and to this day I don't believe that, because I understand what it takes to have control, and nobody really has it. There's an illusion of control, but certainly there is no one in control. And I think events of the day are making that more and more apparent, that nobody is in control of what's happening on this planet right now. Interestingly enough, that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why I've chosen to finish up my stint as a radio host for now, because my intuition is that there are greater things on the horizon that are going to take precedence, and time will tell if that's a wise intuition or not. But, we'll find out. At any rate, George Carlin, Tim Russert, these guys were both very important figures, I think, in the culture, and important to the generation that sort of thinks they're in control of the country right now. And, dropping like flies, as they say. And it'll be interesting to see who goes tomorrow. So, anyway, hopefully none of us, all right? Now, that's another thing. My health has been very sketchy for at least the last year, and I've got to do something to get healthy again, and it's just time for some changes for me. I've got a wonderful family and my two boys who are, as they get older, requiring more and more of my time. And it's not an excuse, though. I always have time to do the radio, and I always would make time for it. It's not that. It's just that this has been completed, and it's now time to do something different. I don't know what I'll do. We'll have to see what comes down the road for me. But I have a lot of energy, and I do like to express myself. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll start playing a little bit more music or something. I don't know. We'll have to see. But to do Radio Orbit for the last 4 years has been a highlight of my life. It has been one of the most amazing experiences that's been combined and is a mosaic of all kinds of smaller amazing experiences. And I'm just so fortunate to have been able to do it. And it's funny because when I first started doing the program, when I had my original guest list that I had put together, I had 10, 11 or so people that I was convinced that I had to speak with, and that if I could interview those 10 people, that I would have completed my radio work. And all of those 10 people I think I spoke with in the first year. And the reason I wanted to get all 10 of them in during the first year, because I never knew how long I was going to be on the air. I actually thought early on that they would throw me off the air because of the things that I was going to be talking about. And, nobody did throw me off the air. And and nobody's throwing me off the air now. Anybody that thinks that that's the case, well, it's not. I've had a remarkable level of acceptance, actually, since I've been doing this radio program. Now, don't get me wrong. I've upset some people, and I've made some people uncomfortable. I recognize that, and I've made some local people here uncomfortable, and frankly, some local people need to be uncomfortable, and a lot of people need to be uncomfortable. They should not be comfortable doing the things they're doing and allowing the things they're doing to continue. So, that's just sort of the way it is, but I've never once been threatened physically. I've never once had anyone tell me that I had to watch what I was doing or I was going to be thrown off the air or anything like that. I've never had the FCC, knock on wood, come down on me or the radio station. I've had a few slip-ups on this program, and if they want to, they can choose and pick who they're going to make life difficult for. So I do believe that free speech is still alive and is still breathing. It certainly is here at KOPN in Mid-Missouri. I hope whoever takes over this spot from 11 to 2 on Monday nights, I hope they exercise their right to free speech. And someone's on the phone line here. We're going to let them exercise their free speech right now and say, hello, welcome to Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hi, it's Kara from B.C.
Hi, Kara. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
B.C. as in British Columbia?
As in British Columbia, yes.
Wow, pleasure to have you on the radio with me. What's going on?
I just wanted to say thank you for doing this. I mean, I've been listening to your radio show for only 4 months now, but I love it. I look forward to it every Monday night, and I just want to say good luck in the future, and I think what you're doing is amazing, and I'm glad that there's people like you out there.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that you're listening to the program, and I encourage you to go into the archives and start snooping around in there because...
I have been. It's great.
All right. Well, you enjoy them, and thank you for taking the time to call, and I appreciate your support, Kara.
Great. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself, all right?
You too.
All right.
Bye, Mike.
Okay. Once again, the phone number here, 573-443-8255. Feel free to give me a buzz if you'd like to say hi, and don't have to talk about me particularly leaving the program. We can talk about anything you like. We got 2 more hours to do it up, so I'd be glad to hear from y'all, okay? Probably take a break here in just a few minutes, play another piece of music. But we'll take any phone calls, I guess, if we get somebody else that calls between now and the top of the midnight hour, okay? One of the most amazing things, of course, of doing the program has been not only being able to communicate and correspond with guests that appear on the program, but also the amazing relationships that I've been able to develop with a number of listeners. Not that many, but enough to make a huge difference. In other words, you know, when you make a good friend, you don't need a lot of them, and you shouldn't expect to have a lot of good friends, you know. Very few people have a whole bunch of good friends. And by good friends, I mean good friends, all right? You know, somebody you can count on, somebody you can trust, you know, somebody who is an authentic, good friend, you know, in the truest sense of those words. Well, I've made a few of those over the course of doing this program. I've made more than a few. And for that, I'm so thankful because... one of the theme that I've always used since day one of this radio program is the phrase, find the others. Find the others. And, you know, I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again for those who are unfamiliar. In the late 1960s, Dr. Timothy Leary was asked during an interview the question, "So, Dr. Leary, what do you do after you turn on, tune in, and drop out?" And he said, "You find the others." And that always stuck with me. And my friend, my dear friend, Terrence McKenna, made sure that I never forgot that. And so I used that as the sort of tagline for the show, even though I don't say it much on the air, you know, it is what I was trying to do, and it was what I was trying to help you guys do too, and you girls, you know, for all of us to find the others, whoever they may be for us, you know. It wasn't fully altruistic, you know, my motivations for doing the radio show, you know, I did it for me, first and foremost. I did it for me because, for one thing, it was the only thing that I could come up with that I could think of to get my heroes to talk to me. I figured they're not going to talk to me if I just call them up and say, "Hey, my name's Mike Hagan. I'm just, you know, Joe Schmo from wherever, and I like your book, and I'd like to talk with you about it." But if I could call those same people and say, "Hey, my name's Mike Hagan, and I do a radio show on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, I thought that I'd get more respect. And I did. And thank you to all the people who have been on this program for taking the time and for, you know, for being on this program, you know, for respecting me enough to share your time with me and my audience. It means more to me than anything. And I was able to do exactly what I was trying to do. I was able to find the others, or at least some of them. And I know that some of the people in the audience have been able to do the same, that they've found others now that they can communicate with and share with and can call kindred spirits, kindred folk. And that's what this program has been about. And I hope that it continues to do its work after I finish this broadcast tonight. Let's say hello to another listener real fast, and then we'll play a piece of music here in a minute, okay? Hi, it's Mike. It's Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hi, Mike. It's James. How you doing?
Hey, JTS. How are you, my brother?
I am doing very well, but I was saddened when I turned on the radio and heard you saying that you were done.
For now, and, like I said, I have mixed feelings about it, and but it's run its course. I've done what I can do with it for now, and I don't want to do any more. It's done.
Most understandable. I don't think I've ever told you this, but you're one of the people that I was listening to before I ever decided to go back to play with KOPN or anybody like that.
Is that right?
So thank you very much for that. And I have enjoyed the conversations. It's been most stimulating. Not the ones so much between us, of course. Those have been great. But, I mean, listening to you on the radio with the people you interview, it's just been really, really very, very nice.
Well, James, I've appreciated the conversations you and I have had, both.
And I'm
so glad that you listen to the show. And I love your show. And for the people who aren't familiar with James, time slip.
Mike fills in for that sometimes.
Once in a while. And I'll still be hanging around a little bit, and I'd be glad to sub for you. But certainly people should check it out, 11 o'clock on Saturday nights. James does an amazing radio program.
Yeah, but it's just music. You guys really do more informative stuff that's very, very special.
Well, I it takes all kinds, James, you know?
Yeah, but I'm sorry I didn't make it to the Shire, but it was that or C3.
Well, there's a lot of things going on this time of year. So
C3 was good, though.
I'm sure they were, and I've enjoyed their shows in the past. So, all right, my brother, I'll be in touch with you.
I will let you go, but I just wanted to say thank you.
Thanks again. Take care, all right?
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, we are just after the top of the hour, midnight, on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. It's Mike Hagan. You listen to Radio Orbit. Let's play a piece of music here from Blind Melon, and we will then come back and talk to you all a little bit more, okay? Again, I have no idea what the names of these songs are, but they're all great. Mike Hagan, Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia. Yeah, once again, Blind Melon. I got a feeling that one's called Holy Man, but I can't be held to that, all right? It's Mike Hagan. You listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, about 7 minutes after the midnight hour now, June 24th, 2008. Happy birthday to Don, my good friend Linda's little brother, who was born 1964, June 24th. And hello to Linda as well, another remarkable person. She's never been on this radio program, but she'd blow all your minds. Okay, speaking of that, let's see who we have on the radio telephone here and say hello and welcome to Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Lance.
Oh, another call from Canada. Hi, Lance.
Yeah, another call from BC, actually. How are you doing?
I tell you what, nobody around here calls me, but I get all the people from 1,000 miles away. I think it's more comfortable for people when they're further away from me.
Well, no. I just think that there's not that many others.
I think that that's true, actually, Lance, and I really mean it.
I've been. It's a hard, long thing to post. I might have posted part of it, I think, on your forum at some point in time, but I have a friend from Auckland, New Zealand, named Chris King,
mm-hmm.
who teaches the fractal biology.
Wow.
And so he's got his doctorate. He's a crazy old hippie-looking dude.
Right.
But what he said is that, okay, when you take a field, the empty nothingness, in order to make a fractal, you have to have the strange attractor that sinks in the center and then spins, right? And then fractals around the edge.
Right. The chaotic attractor, sure.
Yeah, so he teaches fractal biology.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in the math biology of people, that all that it takes is 12 people that are dedicated to something that's within the natural order to change the way that 20,000 people around them will think about things.
Hmm.
So that's 12 out of 20,000.
Right.
So when you think about finding the others, that's a very small percentage of people around on the planet at any given time. So looking at it, I'm a fairly doom and gloom person, really, when it comes down to it, but that's because I know about soil loss. I don't care about all the other problems, well, other than chemtrails and all that stuff, but just soil loss alone, looking at all these things, and then it's like, oh, well, it only takes 12 out of 20,000 people to shift all those people's thinking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to looking at the others, there aren't all that many others. There never have been all that many others, and there never will be all that many others for as long as the human race goes on.
Mm-hmm.
There is only just a small, I don't want to use the word select, but there's a small group of people that can manipulate the way that things are going.
Mm.
As long as they're manipulating it in a way that's mutually beneficial to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I really wanted to add, because it's a small number. It's 12 out of 20,000.
Yeah, you know, and this whole business of the butterfly effect, you know, is one that is so important to me. And, you know, I'm not sure if you heard. Yeah, you did, actually, because you called. But when John Sheliak and I were talking last week, you know,
yeah.
John spoke at length about this transformation that takes place from caterpillar to butterfly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the many remarkable parts of that story is this thing, the imaginal cell, right? Your biologist friend would probably be interested in it if he probably knows about it. But the idea that the caterpillar begins to essentially be taken apart by new cells that are developing in its own body. But they're the imaginal cells, when they begin, there's just a very small number of them, and the immune system of the caterpillar itself is trying to extinguish them, because the caterpillar wants to remain a caterpillar and doesn't realize, of course, that these new imaginal cells are going to be responsible for the transformation into butterfly, right? But the reason I bring it up again is because those few cells are able to convert that whole caterpillar into, you know, a gooey, aqueous mess, and then eventually the transformation occurs, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's totally crazy. And I mean, you know, you can't imagine a bigger 180, you know, going from this little caterpillar that, like John says, is just a ravenous creature that lives essentially in a 2D environment and doesn't travel very far at all, probably the same tree its whole life, And then all of a sudden, this thing now becomes a creature that can take flight, you know.
And fly from British Columbia to Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely outrageous. So, anyway, well, Lance, it's been a pleasure, and I hope that you and I, you know, I'm sure we will remain in contact and friends. And that's
well, you can't, once you found the others, you can't let go of them.
You can't
let
go.
They won't let go.
That's right. In fact, it's physically not possible, I don't think. So
I doubt it. Yeah.
Well, it's been a great opportunity to be able to come across guys like you. So thank you very much, man.
All righty. Well, I'm glad I got to call in twice your two last shows.
And you wait for the last minute. I love it. I'll talk to you soon.
Well, I'm going to be talking to you soon anyway. So, take
well,
care.
Well, you know, and I'd like to mention to people while I have Lance on the air, the show that we did with Rick Simpson, I don't know, maybe a month ago or 6 weeks ago, something like that. For people who aren't familiar with that program, Ricky Simpson is a guy from Canada who has been working with hemp oil or cannabis oil. This is not the same as hemp seed oil. This is actually an essential oil that is essentially derived or distilled, I guess, from the plant. And this is something that Lance has been interested in and is now sort of experimenting with and doing a case study on himself, actually. And it's very interesting what he's been sharing with us on the forum. Would you like to say a little bit, Lance, about your thoughts?
Sure. Actually, I just ran out. I've got to. I'm waiting for the fellow that we made it all together with to come back from the city. It's been 2 days, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I want my oil back.
Huh.
But I've noticed quite a few things. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed the things that I didn't notice before weren't there, which is a hard kind of. Yeah, it's a difficult way to place it, but
yeah. You get so used to being ill or something.
Well, and I used to get, you know, like some of my muscles would cramp here and there, kind of like MSE. Mm. Or, yeah, maybe I am. I'm turning 40 this year. Who knows what I've got? But but all the things that, all the little weird cramps and all the strange little things that you just kind of brush aside, I brush aside anyways, because I don't really go to allopathic healthcare practitioners, so I don't really know where to go to do any of these things. But all those things, they've all gone. A good friend of mine, he was a hand logger in New Zealand and a hand logger in British Columbia, and he said to me when he started on the oil, and he summed it up really nicely. He said that extra 20 minutes of sleep a night makes the entire difference for the rest of your day. Because I played hockey with the Gretzky's and whatnot growing up. I grew up in Brantford, Ontario, which was the home of the Gretzky's.
Right, right.
And I've had both my shoulders dislocated a couple times. I threw one of my shoulders out when I was like 12, pitching hardball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't necessarily realize that you're losing all that amount of sleep while I'm tossing and turning. But if I can just sleep on my back and not toss and turn, I wake up an hour earlier every day and I feel great.
Mm.
So, I didn't go into the oil thing because I'm, got cancer or whatever. I went into it just to see what it would do because I've been working with this plant for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Like, we were the first licensed cannabis growers in Canada. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've since given up our license, and we don't make the oil here, and we don't grow here, so mm-hmm. whatever. But, I thought that there was going to be some magic in that oil, and sure enough, or in the plant, and sure enough, the magic came out in the oil.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to it, the head of our legion, he has had liver cancer for years, and it butts into the base of his spine, the tumor butts into the base of the spine, and then it juts out, and he can feel the fluids going through his liver, and after a week of the oil, he didn't feel any pressure on his spine, and he can't feel his liver anymore, and the tumor shrunk.
Hmm.
Like 1 week. You can't argue that, neither here nor there, with any of the supposed remedies that are floating around in allopathic healthcare.
Right. Well, I tell you, I mean, the stories are amazing, and they're coming from a lot of different places now. You know, there are a lot of people that are trying this. I tell you that the video series that Rick Simpson and those people put together called
Run from the Cure.
Yeah, it's called Run from the Cure. I tell you what, it's pretty powerful, and I know that Lance is speaking the truth with what he's telling you. So anyway, I encourage people to listen to that program, and you know, it can be very important for you or someone that you love with regard to their health. So
yes.
All right, my friend. Thanks very much again.
Well,
I'll talk to you
soon. Hopefully we'll hear you on Cyberspace Radio Orbit pretty soon.
And you never know.
You never know.
I'll talk to you.
Okay, take care.
See you, Lance. Ciao. All right, that's Lance from British Columbia. And you're listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Columbia everywhere. British Columbia, Columbia, Missouri, District of Columbia. What's with the word Columbia? There's something special about that word. I remember we did a show a couple years ago with Vincent Bridges, the guy who was a co-author with Jay Widener of Monument to the End of Time, the story of the Henday Cross and all that. And Vince, that night, talked about the goddess Columbia, I think. And it had to do with astronomy and constellations and all that. But anyway, there is something about the word Columbia that that seems to be utilized a lot around the country and around North America. All right, space weather. Well, you'll have to check it out for yourself, but the sun, you know, keep an eye on the sun because, and if you go to cyberspaceorbit.com, right on the front page there, you'll see a number of links under the space weather header, and there are plenty of people that are keeping an eye on this stuff, and I've tried to link to a few of them, but the sun has been remarkably quiet and very, very few sunspots to speak of, and that's over quite a few months now, and there are some people that are starting to talk about it, that it's a strange solar cycle already, and that it's not acting the way that it should, but again, you know, the way it should is a very, very arbitrary statement, because we really don't know the way it should. We've only been watching the sun. Well, I guess Galileo was probably the first person to really be observing it and was able to identify sunspots and that sort of thing. But as far as measurements of any real accuracy, I would say, you know, it's been about 150 years max. And so for an entity like the sun, which we are told is billions and billions of years old, well, you know, you have no idea what the greater cycles are that it may be running through. We've only been observing it for a couple hundred years, and you know, that's just a tick in deep time, in cosmic time, you know, in the life cycle of a star. So, you know, who knows what's really happening on the sun? I don't think we understand it that well to begin with, but certainly the 11-year solar cycle that has been remarked about by scientists, you know, since they've been studying this stuff, the 11-year cycle is one that has seemed to be relatively regular, and so it's one that they sort of count on. Well, the last couple cycles have not been typical for sure, and this one now, interestingly, is very quiet and very little happening on the sun. Toward the end of the last solar cycle, everyone was very concerned that this particular cycle that we're in the middle of now would be a dangerous solar cycle, and we'd have the threat of major solar storms and this sort of stuff. Well, so far that hasn't happened. Of course, the peak of the cycle is supposed to be right around 2012. Again, there's that 2012 date that we have talked about at length on this program, and you know, who's to say if that's not part of that particular equation? You know, I'm thinking of Lance, and when we were off the air, we were talking a little bit about you know, topics of the program and this sort of thing. And 2012 came to my mind, along with some of the other things that that have been discussed fairly regularly on the program. And this sort of leads back to some of my motivations for calling a halt to the program at this point in time, because I feel that there are certain things that can't be covered any better than we've already covered them. You know, I don't think we can talk any more about shamanism and do anybody any good any better than what is already there in the archives, you know. I don't think that we can talk about 2012 anymore and do anybody any additional good than what's in the archives, you know. I mean, we got Shelyak, the guy that wrote The Wave, essentially, right? Or the guy that, the only guy left on the planet that really understands what the F is going on with regard to The Wave. I mean, he's the guy that understood Terrence's math better than anybody else. And it's one of the reasons why I think John is so important and why I'm so thrilled that he's become a part of my life and a friend. You know, when I spoke about finding the others before the break and with Lance, John Shelyak is, for me, you know, one of the others. He's one of my others. And being able to establish a relationship with John because of the importance of Terrence to me and because of the importance of the events at La Chirera in 1971, these are not things that I take lightly. I do not talk about them on the radio for entertainment purposes, although they may be entertaining. I'm talking about this stuff because I think it is highly, highly relevant, and I have a deep, deep intuition that these things are going to become very, very important in the very near future. And so, you know, I did my best to cover this stuff, as strange as it might have sounded to people who are unfamiliar with it, you know, and as strange as it may sound tonight to people who are unfamiliar. You know, the fact that I'm, you know, fond of psilocybin mushrooms, you know, this is still considered heresy and you know, absolutely aberrant behavior by many people. And I'm spouting off on the radio telling people, look, this is a key to our evolutionary future. You know, couldn't be further from the drug fear that is being, you know, slung out from every direction by the powers that were. So anyway, my point that I'm trying to get at is that I don't want to muddy the waters any more than they're already muddied. And I feel that the things that I was trying to get across, the things that I have found important, that I think are, you know, relevant to myself and to other people out there, I've done them as best I could do them. And I've spoken to the people who I thought were the most knowledgeable in those particular fields. I've spoken to many of them a number of times. You'll know who my most important guests are by just going to the archives and looking at how many times I've spoken to somebody. You know, I spoke to Kent Stedman probably 10 times over the course of 4 years. You know, I spoke to Dennis McKenna 3 or 4 times, John Shelyak 3 or 4 times, John Major Jenkins 3 or 4 times, you know, and, you know, Jay Widener. These are people that I obviously think have their finger on the pulse of something or people whose ideas I think are very important. And right now, when I look around, it's been an interesting experience the last 6 months. There's been, this thing has been sort of building with me, but I didn't really realize it until the last few weeks. It became apparent to me last Wednesday night. That's when I made this decision. But it's been building for some time. And one of the things that I've been struggling with is finding new guests to appear on the program. And this is not to speak down, and I'm not trying to do that, but we have to face the facts of the matter. And for me, when I'm out there looking for guests, I just have had difficulty finding people who I haven't already spoken to, because, see, I don't want to be redundant. I don't want to be, you know, just the guy who all he talks about is this, or all he talks about is that. And those things that have been important to me, I've already covered at length, And you know, they're done. They've been done. And so this has left me with this sort of feeling, well, what am I going to do now? Because I'm not interested in just having somebody on the air that I don't think is doing extraordinary work. You know, if I'm going to have somebody on the air, I want them to be doing extraordinary work. I want them to be respectful of their ancestors and recognize that they're certainly not the first to do whatever they're doing. We've got all these so-called experts out there now that are popping up everywhere with websites and with new books and fancy graphics and all kinds of marketing behind them. And, you know, they're not experts in anything. They've taken material from other people that have, many of them who are long gone, and they're passing it off as their own, and they give very little credit, you know, to those who have come before them, and they're just, you know, in my estimation, essentially just looking to capitalize on whatever it is that they're looking to capitalize on, you know, and the word capital is the right one to use because it's about money primarily. And I can tell you this, the great majority of people who have been on this program, the people that don't have a lot of money, and, you know, it doesn't mean that that there aren't people with money that aren't doing good work. I'm sure there are, you know, and certainly some of the people who have been on this program do have money, but not most of them. And most of them aren't interested in sharing the information that they shared for money. Most of the people who have been on this program are trying to help. They're trying their best to help and to heal and to somehow make it through the eye of the needle that we're facing now as individuals, as a culture, as a species, and somehow create or participate in a new and more beautiful future for ourselves and for our children and our grandchildren and for all the other life forms that we coexist with on this planet. You know, that they might also have a beautiful future and you know, for them and their children. All of them. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in anything other than the biggest of things. You know, I want to see a new world. I want to see a new type of human. I want to see a new man, a new woman, a new species, the next step. You know, I'm not one that believes that the human being as it stands is the final version. You know, we've been changing ever since we were fruit-eating monkeys in the arboreal forest. And we're still changing. Some of us more than others, perhaps. Who knows? Who's to say what's going on inside our bodies? You know, are there imaginal cells inside human beings that are competing with normal human biology, trying to take it over and change it into something new? You know, who knows? There are a lot of people who are feeling certain physical phenomenon and experiencing similar things. I talk to lots of people that have sort of similar conditions, and we always assume that it's something external, you know, that we've caught something. We got a bug or it's a disease that got us or something. And this may be the case, and certainly there are plenty of bugs out there. We all know that. We've been talking about that, you know, enough over the last 9 months. And, it doesn't matter where the bugs come from. If the bugs are being, you know, manipulated by sociopathic scientists in, you know, laboratories at Fort Detrick, or if they're bugs that made their own way and are just part of the natural world without, you know, human assistance. Either way, there are some very dangerous organisms out there that can threaten human beings very, very deeply. And I want to see all that end. You know, I'm looking for the end of all disease. I'm looking for a new version of human that, you know, that is essentially independent and no longer subject to the constraints and requirements of biology. That blows a lot of people's minds when you talk about stuff like that. What do you mean? You can't. I mean, how can you get beyond biology? I don't know, but that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to get beyond the requirements of biology, to escape death, to transcend it, you know? And who's to say that that's not something that is possible? You know, nobody knows what the next version of the human will be. No one knows what evolution has in store. You know, nobody knows these things. And we can imagine anything that we like. So, anyway, I think I'm going to take a little break here and come back and talk a little bit more with y'all. Okay, the phone number is 573-443-8255. You're welcome to call and chat if you'd like, and I'll be here and looking for the phone to ring, okay? Once again, 573-443-8255. All right, it's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, and this is the final episode. I'll come back and talk with you in just a few minutes, okay? It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit. This is Blind Melon. Melon. Love it. That's another song from a disc that came into my possession through very strange circumstances. And I've never heard it before or since. And it's a bunch of songs that I don't think many people have heard, because I don't think that any of this stuff was released on either of the two Blind Melon studio albums that were released. You know, I should mention something about the band. I've been wanting to play Blind Melon for a long time, and this guy Shannon Hoon, who was the driving force of that band, died sort of tragically, but in a common, you know, the way lots of rock and roll stars do, apparently, you know, the heroin overdose, that type of thing. But he was amazing, and the music that they put out during the short time that they were around was, for me, just really, really remarkable music, and it touched me in a way that not a lot of bands have. And I thought it would be appropriate to share some of that music with you all tonight, because, you know, some people will say that this program, you know, left before its time or whatever, and I don't really see it that way. I think that this is the right time to finish up the program, and that's why I'm doing it now. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, it's primarily because the goals that I sort of set for myself when I began to do the program, they've pretty much been accomplished. I've spoken to the people who I thought were important to speak to. I've had the opportunity to become friends with many of them, and validate and substantiate much of what I thought about them to begin with. I've had the opportunity to create a website where other people can get together and share information and ideas. The forum has been just a great pleasure and a great gift for me to be able to share with whoever, not necessarily listeners of the program. Anybody can go and participate in the forum. And there are a number of people there that participate in the forum who don't listen to the radio program, and that's, you know, perfectly cool. And you know, that's why I will definitely leave that stuff up and active, because I hope people continue to utilize those tools. That's what this program has been about finding other people who are like you, essentially, or like-minded. You know, where people can find others to talk to and to laugh with and share things with, because everybody's looking for, you know, for friendship, for camaraderie, for understanding, for cooperation, you know. And I hope that the program and the website have been a catalyst for that type of thing. I think it has. It certainly has been for me, and I've benefited greatly from the relationships that have come out of the experiences of doing this radio program. However, I think that it has reached a point in time where it's finished, and those times are now over. You know, something new is coming, and so you know, I'm just gonna move on and put all this in my back pocket and say thanks to everybody who participated in it and made it happen. You know, couldn't do it if the guests wouldn't agree to be on the program. Couldn't do it if nobody listened. Suppose I could do it, but what good would it be? You know, the people at KOPN who have made it possible and make it possible for anybody, essentially, to do radio. If you have the will to do it, all you gotta do is come down here and get to know the folks that run this place. Come up with a decent idea, show that you're technically capable of doing it, and then you'll probably be able to do it. You know, you might not be able to do it overnight, but what thing can you do overnight that's worth, you know, that's really worth something? You gotta work at it. It takes a little time, takes a little effort, takes, you know, a passing of a bar to a certain extent. You know, you got to pay your dues. You got to do stuff to get, you know, you got to give in order to get, that sort of thing. So anyway, it's available here, though. And there's a wonderful group of people here at KOPN who have made it available for people like me to do this type of thing for 35 years. And we're still doing it. And I'm very, very proud to be a part of this organization. I'm proud of the people who made it what it is. I'm proud of all those people in the 70s and the 80s that held the thing together. In the 90s, too, there have been tough times along the way. But this radio station has stayed afloat and is a fixture and a wonderful jewel that that celebrates free speech and diversity and imagination, creativity, right here in the middle of the country. And I'm like I say, I'm so proud to be a part of it and participated in it, you know, best way that I knew how. Tried to add to it and made some friends, made some enemies, and, you know, but that's the way the world works. And, you know, just to be able to participate in it and have the opportunity to do this radio show, I cannot tell you all how much I appreciate it. And how much I thank you for making it available for me and for other people who have, you know, the will to do something like this. So I'm going to play another piece of music here because I need to take a break. And I might play a couple, actually. And when we come back at the top of the hour, I will talk a little bit more about what I think is happening. And it's just me sort of riffing a little bit on the general state of affairs. But tonight is actually the one-year anniversary of a program that I did on the 26th of June last year. I mean, it's essentially one-year anniversary, but because of leap year and the way Mondays fall. But it's been 52 weeks since I did this program on June 26th of last year. And that was a turning point for me as an individual in my own life, but it was also a turning point for the radio program. If you know, if people listen to that show, if you haven't heard it, I don't know, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But at any rate, it's been a year since then, and that was an important show for me, and a pouring out of my heart of sorts about some things that had been happening in my life that were mysterious and unexplainable and causing me consternation and anxiety and agitation, and but also a lot of other adjectives that were much more pleasant. You know, it was causing me, you know, great happiness and wonder and a tremendous sense of hope that had come along with it. But at any rate, this show tonight is the 1 year anniversary of that program, and I've come to a number of resolutions culminating type events that I think maybe are on the horizon that I'd like to talk with you a little bit. Again, this is just my take on what's happening and what seems to be happening to me, perhaps. I don't know. But I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my experiences and what I make of them. And we've got a couple people calling on the phone, though, so let's take a phone call here and say hello and welcome to Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hi, Mike. It's John.
John Sheliak. Hey, man.
I'm from Omaha.
How are you? You're in Omaha right now?
Yeah, I'm in Omaha. I just finished the dinner and wine conversation with my daughter and son-in-law and tuned into you and really enjoying listening to you talk after having visited.
Well, I had a wonderful time with you this weekend, and it was great that you were able to be here. And what a gang, you know?
Yeah, that it would be an understatement. It's impossible to really find the language to describe it, Mike.
Hmm. Well, John, like I said earlier, I don't know if you've been listening, but you've been a huge bright spot on my own life over the last couple of years, and I'm so thrilled to be able to be friends with you, and I'm so excited about the work that you're doing and that you've been doing. I really do feel that this stuff is important and soon to become much more visible to many, many people. And, right or wrong, it doesn't matter at this point, but I just want you to know how much I appreciate what you've been doing. So.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mike. The honor, goes both ways. I think we do these things in a vacuum. There's sure reasons why we're connected and why we share what we share. And, that's an important part of our life process. And I couldn't do what I'm doing, with the connection I have with you, certainly, and others. And I think it's important that we really begin to really get that because, nobody is an island. In spite of how so many people would like to think and claim, this whatever the evolutionary expansion step that we're about to, be immersed in is certainly not about personal ego or my ability to do this or that. It's going to be about how we really relate and connect with others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. For me, in my heart, spirit, soul, that this really, if it is to be anything worth engaging in at all, it's got to be about, higher, deeper interconnection and higher level integration, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you fully, my friend.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, I'm going to say ciao and play a little bit of music here and get one more hour left, and I got some sort of interesting stuff that maybe I'll share with you all, okay?
Great. Thanks.
John, thanks again, man. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, everybody, Dr. John Szeliak, like I say, just another one of these remarkable people who I'm so lucky and fortunate to have been able to connect with and relate with primarily because of this radio program. So thank you, John, for calling. I appreciate it. Let's see. What else do we have? Let me take a quick look here in the chat room. And well, hello to all you people in the chat room, first of all. And it's been a blast, over the course of all these programs, looking in there, too. The chat room's so cool, and I think it's just awesome that the technology allows us to do all this stuff these days. So, anyway, okay, let's take a break here, play a little bit of music, and we'll come back, and I will talk a little bit more, all right? It's Mike, you listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia 89.5 FM. On the web, kopn.org, and this is Blind Melon. How WKOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. That's Blind Melon. You're listening to it here on Radio Orbit. It's about 1 a.m. now on the 24th of June, 2008. My name is Mike Hagan. Pleasure to be with you all tonight. And I want to talk a little bit more about the future and, I don't know, just some things that I've been sort of thinking about and considered a lot of things over the last few years about, you know, the future, my own and others. And since I got one more hour of this radio show, I will try to share some of what I think I've discerned or come up with during the course of all this stuff, all right? One of the reasons why I'm leaving the show is because there's something else that I'm waiting for. And very little interests me other than this other something. And I've been trying to define what that is, and I'll do my best to try to do it with y'all here tonight. But the thing is this, that when I look around the world right now, and we have the ability to because of the technologies that are now available to all of us, you can see what's happening, and you can also learn a lot about what's happened in the past. And the sinking ship metaphor is one of the good ones that I think can be used here, because I think that the terrestrial ship is sinking. And like the Titanic, it doesn't matter whether the passengers drown to the right-hand side or to the left-hand side. It doesn't matter if the passengers die under a red, white, and blue flag, or a black and red and green flag, or the flag of the UN. It doesn't matter what banner you hang over your head when the ship is going down. The institutions are already sunk. The churches are sunk. The religions are sunk. They reform their own dust. Patriotism is crushing everyone. Not just in this country. Patriotisms in general are crushing people. Machines are crushing us. The education system, crushing us. Business, government, crushing us. The machine, you know? And we build more machines to break out of the machine. We got machines that nobody even understands. We've been to the moon with our machines. You know? We build things like CERN. And they become just part of the grander machine. We know very little about our own hearts. We know very little about our own terrestrial destiny as human monkeys. You know, as higher primates. And people want to improve what is. They want to improve these institutions. Well, for me, that's not the way. You know, how do you proceed with something like that? How do you improve rot? How do you improve something that's rotten? This is not a time for improvement. The time for improvements is past. This is a time for something new, time for something else, something that is not the same as improvements. There is violence now, and there are people that talk about violence, and there are people that talk about nonviolence, just like the left and the right, the good and the bad, God and Satan, all this stuff. But it turns out that these are all, you know, two faces of the same coin. And there's very little left that hasn't been tried, that hasn't been seen, that hasn't been attempted, that hasn't been theorized. And the thing is just sort of bankrupt now. There are all kinds of people who want to seize power whenever the opportunity presents itself. But what power is it? What kind of power, really? You know? It's an illusory power. You know? the power of a statesman, you know, the power of the president or somebody like that. You know, if people are fighting over that type of power, all you're fighting over is the keys to the prison. You know, you're just fighting over who's got the prison keys and fighting over who's going to build the next prison. That's like the, you know, this type of thing. What I'm interested in is getting out of it, getting out of the prison. You know, real power doesn't come from the barrel of a gun. It doesn't come from a laboratory-created bug. It doesn't come from an airplane spraying shit on you, right? That's not what real power is. Just like freedom, you know, doesn't flow from the bellies of dead people. For millions of years now, we've been building on this. We've been building on corpses, dead people, on wars, destruction, revolution. And the play, the drama, is enacted repeatedly, over and over and over and over again. So maybe now is the time to build on something else, to find the key to real power, to true power. And this is what I believe was the message of La Chorrera and the message of 2012. I want to say, before I continue with this, that my friend Linda, who I've mentioned on the air once or twice, she's a remarkable woman, and the notes that I'm sort of riffing off of tonight are notes from Linda and the stuff that has come out of many, many conversations that her and I have had over the last year or so, and another remarkable woman who I know only as Mother Mira, but she was a remarkable woman, and lucky for us, much of what she had in her mind was written down by a Buddhist monk, I guess, by the name of Satprim. And Satprim only died last year in 2007. Mother Mira died, I think, in 1972. But they were very, very connected to things that I've become connected to, and I think that their work was very, very important. And much of what I'm relating to you now has come from our discussions, Linda and I, that is, and our thoughts about the work of Terence and Dennis and La Chorrera and this particular volume of work called The Agenda, which was written by Satprim about essentially the life and the work of this woman whose name was Mira. So thank you, Linda, for everything that you share with me. I think you're a wonderful person and one of the most important women on this planet, certainly. That said, I'd like to continue a little bit about this idea of power and who's got it and how do you get it. There is something that Satprim talks about that he calls the great sense. And this is basically what the great sense tells us. It says that we were born, you know, X number of million years ago, a molecule, a gene, a quivering bit of quark plasma, like John talks about. But eventually, we produced a dinosaur, a crab, an ape, all kinds of things in between, oak trees, frogs, turtles, herons, hawks, eagles, lightning bugs, butterflies. If we stopped halfway along the road, we could have said with plenty of sense that the baboon was the summit of the creation, and nothing better could be done except maybe to improve, you know, the capacities of the baboon and create a united world of apes or something like this, like from the movies, you know, the Planet of the Apes. The point is that we are committing, in my opinion, the same error today in the jungles of Manhattan and, you know, the modern quote-unquote world. We have invented these incredible, outrageous, enormous means at the service of microscopic consciousnesses. Do you see what I mean? We have invented devices, machines, right? Technology that is at the service of mediocrity. It's at the service of the least among us. You know, and still more and more devices. And like I said before, machines built to save us from the machine. More devices to save us from, you know, the device. The question is this. Is man, as we stand now, truly the goal of all of these years, these millions of years of striving, of groping? Are we it? You know, the human being as we are now? The great sense that Satram talks about, the true sense, tells us that man is not the end. It's not the triumph of man that we want. It's not an improved version of a monkey that we are. It is another thing. It is another species, a new ontological classification, another race, which I believe may already be in our midst. There was this this amazing man who went by the name of Sri Aurobindo. And Sri Aurobindo tells us that man is a transitional being. Now, I believe that we're right in the middle of this transition. I believe that it is bursting at the seams all around this planet. You can see it. You can see it in Iraq. You can see it in Israel. You can see it in Pine Ridge. You can see it in Washington. You can see it on the streets of Beijing. You can see it on the plateau at Giza, or at the Pyramid of the Sun in Bosnia, or at the Pyramid of the Moon in Mexico. You can see it in my fucking backyard. Man is uncomfortable in his skin. And the great sense, the true sense, tells us that the only thing that we can do is set to work to prepare for the new and collaborate in our own evolution instead of just running around in circles in the old dead end of false power and the grabbing of false power and the humanhood that does it. Mira corrects Satram and says, no, you're not trying to prepare for another man. You're trying to prepare for a new being, another being. And this is probably a more accurate description, you know, that we set to work to prepare that other being and collaborate in our own evolution instead of trying to grab false powers that rule over a false life that, you know, that is illusory. So the question then becomes, well, where's the lever? Where's the button? How do you kick in this transmutation, this transformation? Well, everybody that I know, that I respect, and many of those that I don't know, but I still respect and have read what they said or heard what they said, the answer to this question, where's the lever, where's the button, the answer is, it is inside. It is within us. This is what everybody of note has told us, everyone from Jesus Christ to Mother Mira to Terence McKenna and a whole lot of people in between. It is within. There is a consciousness within us. There is a power within us. The same power that pushed the dinosaur, the same power that pushes the oak tree, the same power that's in the crab and the ape, the same power is still in us. It still strives. It still pushes, presses on, presses, pushes, moves forward, upward, evolves, climbs, right? It clothes itself in a more and more perfected form as it grows and as it creates its own form. So, what I think we're trying to do is to grab that lever of the power, grab hold of it inside ourselves, and it will itself create a new form. Because it is the lever. It is the lever of transformation, of transmutation. So instead of, you know, evolution unfolding through millennia, countless millennia of, you know, different and painful attempts, useless deaths, fake revolutions that revolutionize nothing, we can perhaps hasten the time and we can bring about sort of a concentrated evolution. We can be the conscious creators of this new being. I really believe something like this is happening. And this is a time of amazing adventure. The world has been shut down. There are no more adventures out there. You know, only robots go to the planets. All the borders are guarded everywhere, whether you're in Rangoon or whether you're in Rome, whether you're in Benares, whether you're in Washington, D.C., whether you're in British Columbia, Mexico, Korea. All the borders everywhere are guarded. You need papers to get anywhere. You know, you can't even get on a plane without somebody giving you a rough time about this, that, or the other thing. The great machine and the functionaries of the machine are watching us, you know, checking our data, running our credit cards, checking our faces, searching, you know, our luggage. There is no more adventure out there. The adventure is within. The adventure is inside. Freedom is within. Space travel is within. And the transformation of our world by the power of spirit is within. The truth of the matter is that power has always been there. It is supreme. It is all-powerful. It is what has been prodding evolution on. It is the hidden spirit that I wish to become the spirit manifest on this planet. And if we trust in it, if we want that supreme power, if we have the courage to descend into our hearts and use our minds and all of the gifts that have been given us, all of the legacies that our ancestors have provided for us, then everything is possible. Everything is possible. Because God, or the entity that is so powerful that we can only call him God, that God is inside us. And I'm going to take some time and try to find it. It's Mike Hagan, and you're listening to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia.
Here we go.
And who are you like me? If I was to smile and I held out my hand, all done up in denial, would you not understand? Because you know if I'm the benefit, I'll do everything that I can. And who are you like me?
Melon, and you listen to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan, and this is Radio Orbit. We will be saying so long to y'all in about a half an hour. This is the final episode of this particular program, and it's been a pleasure hanging out and doing the show here at KOPN for the last few years, and a thrill to be able to communicate and relate with some of the listeners of the program and many of the guests of the program, and just been a great experience all around for me, and I thank you all for being a part of it. Could never have done it without everybody else. So anyway, I'd like to offer the opportunity to call me if anybody wants to get on the telephone and say hello or goodbye or anything like that. 573-443-8255. You can call. I'd be glad to chat with you for a few minutes. 573-443-8255, okay? All right, before that little break, well, there's a telephone call here. Let's say hi. Hello there, who's this? This is Radio Orbit.
Hey, Mike, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, man. Lance finally tied me into it.
Well, he's awesome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What's on your mind, brother?
Not a whole lot, just reflecting on the weekend. It was a great time. And
yeah, Matt was at...
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. It was a huge bonus to have you there and for you to bring some of your musical equipment that you brought. For those who aren't sure what we're talking about, I mentioned earlier that we had the annual solstice celebration this last weekend, and Matt was here visiting with his beautiful girl, Lori, and... We just had a great time, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I really enjoyed it, and it's my pleasure to do so, and really also enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Me and John, it was great. And yeah. Really getting to talk to people about those kind of things in a comfortable setting, you know, is nice, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I was talking about it during the last half hour or whatever, that something is happening, and it's so close to me. It feels so close that, you know, will it be tonight? Will it be tomorrow morning? I mean, that's really the way I feel about it. And it seems to me that all of this stuff has been for a purpose. You know, I don't believe in the random story of history. And I think that it is leading towards something, and that there is a purpose to the whole thing and a reasoning behind it. And my own experiences have brought me to that conclusion. And, certainly I have read many books and, you know, listened to lots of people talk about this or that or the other thing. But my view, you know, my idea of what's happening is mine. And it's primarily from my own experiences and then substantiated by that which I have read or talked about to other people. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so I'm just walking the talk. I mean, I'm telling everybody, you know, if you listen to this radio show and you go back into the archives, you'll find a whole bunch of different guests and all that, but you'll find a number of sort of themes that keep, you know, that keep showing their heads. And it's because there are certain things that I have found in my own life to be very important, and now I'm sort of saying, well, yeah, I mean, not only am I talking about it on the radio and telling people about it and sharing information with others who feel, you know, that something like this is happening, I mean, now I'm basically saying I think it's close enough where I don't need to do this any longer.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a big part of it.
I feel that, too. We had mentioned someone on the forum had typed something about the end of the information age, you know.
Well, but it's all out there.
It's time to put it to use.
It's time to put it to use because it's all been done. I mean,
it's time to integrate, you know.
Yeah. I agree with that fully. I mean, if you want information about anything, you can now get it. You know,
exactly.
I mean, you can get it. The information is out there. You may have to work a little bit harder for this particular piece of information or that, but it's there. And if you can, you know, if you can manage the technology, you can get the information. And it's getting easier and easier to get information. And it's getting harder and harder to keep secrets and this sort of thing, right? And, I mean, that's both personal and, again, it's this fractal thing. I mean, if people don't think that it's harder to keep secrets than it ever has been before. I mean, just look at your own life. This thing about the text message always cracks me up, right? The cell phone text message. Well, I laugh so hard because I know so many people. You know, you know the gang I hang around with here in Columbia, right? Well, this is a lot of young people, and there's a lot of, people that are just messing around, you know, living life and being crazy and not really committed to any of this or that. And boyfriends and girlfriends and all that. Well, my God, the text message is hilarious because people use it all the time, and it's a very fun and quick way to communicate with anybody. And a lot of people use it romantically, you know. The text message is great to send a quick little note to a girl or whatever, you know, if you know her number and all this sort of thing. So anyway, the point of this is that all your girlfriend has to do, though, is go grab your cell phone, and unless you're being very diligent, all she's got to do is hit two buttons, and she can see every text message that you sent over the last week, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then if you got anything in there that's, you know, that you don't want in there, well, forget it. You're busted, right? Well, the same thing goes for governments. It goes for everybody. It's getting harder and harder to keep secrets. And that's actually very good for us, I think. What it does is it should encourage you to tell the truth.
Agreed.
You know? So, anyway, Matt, somebody else is calling here. Let me take this one and say goodbye, okay?
Okay, brother.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for everything.
All righty, man.
All right, cheers.
Bye.
Good evening. This is Radio Orbit. Who's this?
This is Bean.
Bartholomew Bean. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing okay, but I'm kind of sad to hear the program about. I am happy I got to call in on the last program, I'll say that.
Well, it took me quitting the thing to get people to call, I guess. I used to get frustrated in the earlier days of the show when I'd open the phone lines and no one would call, and I'd be like, oh, man, I don't want to do that again. So anyway, well, it's good to hear your voice, and I'm glad you're listening to the show.
Yeah, and any chance we could have you have someone play those archives on this time slot? Is that a possibility?
I don't know. I guess, you know, that'll be something that the programming people will have to decide what they want to put in this spot. I'll certainly send a note to David, you know, and tell him that there have been, because you're not the first person who's asked that, you know. I'm sort of going to let them make the decision, though, and you know, if it's something that you think is worthwhile, you can always, you know, give a quick call to David Owens or something, or send him an email. But either way, I'd like it. But you know, they are podcasts now, and they are in the MP3, so people can listen to them whenever they like, and
sure.
You know, they're available. And you know, if I'd like to hear him play it, that sure, that'd be great. But if not, I'd like someone else to have the opportunity to do something cool during the time slot. You know.
Oh sure, sure. Well, you know, it takes about two or three times of listening to some of those programs before it sinks in. You know,
tell me about it.
Well, it's been great, and thanks so much, Mike. Thanks so much for everything, because you're really a great warrior, and you've been out there helping people out with some incredible information. We all really truly appreciate it. So thanks. Thanks again, my friend.
Well, I think you're doing your part too, Bart, and I appreciate everything that you do, and I'm glad that you and I have been able to become friends in the middle of all this. And I'm hoping to play a little bit more music now that I'll have a little extra time. So, you know, that's something that I'd like to do with you as well. So,
wonderful.
And thank you, by the way, for your amazing performance on Saturday. Holy cow, Bart, that was incredible.
It was my total pleasure.
You just kicked ass. It was awesome.
I appreciated the party. It was a wonderful solstice.
Well, I'll talk to you soon. I'm going to take another phone call, all right?
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I just missed you. Sorry about that. If you would like to give me a call, you're welcome to 573-443-8255. I'm sorry. Oh, there you are, back again. I'll get you in just a second here. Let's see if that works. KOPN, this is Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hey, Mike. This is Bob.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Yeah, I had to call in on the last program. It was a wonderful solstice party, by the way.
And thank you for showing me as well.
Oh yeah, I love those things. I think you must have been aware of it. The fact that Kent was not there was almost like a big hole.
I know.
I mean, his absence. I've never felt the absence of someone so intensely as, you know, he's got to talk to his kids and.
Yeah, I was so glad. You know, his son Brian is...
What a brilliant guy.
Oh, he's outrageous. And he's the spitting image of his dad. I tell him that's too bad for him. But because if you look at Kent's... if you look at images of Kent that were taken when he was a young man...
Really?
My God,
yeah.
Him and Brian are just... They look like they're twins. And but anyway, but it, you're right. It was rough to not have Kent there. But at the same time, I was so pleased that Wendy and Leah and Brian came to carry on the tradition. And I'll tell you what, they're a remarkable group of people, and Kent's spirit will be well integrated into those kids for sure.
Yeah, there's no death, only a change of state.
That's I think it's true. I think it's true.
Well,
all right,
anyway,
Bob, thank you so much, man.
I really support you and in what you're doing. I mean, I think you're only half aware of what's coming, but it's like the fool stepping off into the void, you know, with the dog nipping at his heels, you know, the tarot card. But I really support what you're doing, and I think our paths are going to cross again in that area, too, because I'm doing the same thing myself.
Well,
other people are, too.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, I've never claimed to know what's going on. I mean, I'm as confused as anyone, but I know something is going on, and I'm willing to take a chance. So,
okay.
All right, my brother. Take care.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Hi, this is Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hey, Mike. It's Ian.
Hi, Ian. How are you, man?
How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I didn't want to take up too much time. I just wanted to say I'm here, and thanks for the Radio Orbit legacy.
Well, it's been a wild ride, and up and down, and everywhere in between. But it's been a remarkable experience, and thank you for everything that you've shared with me, and for your participation in the program. You've been amazing.
All right, man. We'll be in touch.
I'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Cheers, man. KOPN. This is Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hi, Mike. This is Clay.
Oh, Clay. Hi, man.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say thanks, man, for all you've done. You know, you've been a real inspiration to me, and I've really enjoyed all of your shows and the whole journey, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, I it's been my pleasure to be able to do it, and I thank you for the help that you've been on the website and everything over all these months. And I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to do more with the website. Clay and I were planning some interesting things, and I'm, you know, and for everyone out there, I'm not going to disappear. You know, I mean, I'm still around, and I'm still going to keep the website up and everything, and I may do radio again in the future if there's good reason to, and there may be, it's just not right now, and I'm still here, and I plan on still being a part of the community out there and in cyberspace, and I can just participate more like one of you guys, you know, and I'm nothing special, and I'm just sort of finished with this particular project, but I'm sure interested in what's going on still, and I'm not going to go in a cave or join an ashram or anything like that, you know? just so people know, I'll still be around, and I may show up in a new place some way. Who knows what the future brings, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Well, you're awesome, Clay. Thank you so much, and I'm sure that you and I will stay in touch, and I appreciate everything that you've been helping me with.
Please. It's been my pleasure.
All right, buddy. Take care, all right?
Take it easy, man.
All right, cheers.
Later.
KOPN Columbia, this is Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hey, this is Matt Birch in Oklahoma City. What's going on, Mike?
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, man. It's been sort of a wild night and been a sort of crazy few days for me, but what's happening in Oklahoma City?
Oh, man, all kinds of great stuff, and it's wild through some crazy synchronicity. You know, this is the first time I've tuned in and listened to you live. I come through your program archives on the regular. You know, mm-hmm. I do a lot of driving,
uh-huh.
running around local foods, working on the local food network in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And I tuned in live tonight, and I jump in the live chat, and it's just like, you know, Mike's last night, and you're, you know, rapping about all this stuff, and I'm laying down there just listening to everything you had to say before I went to bed, and just thought I'd call in and say thanks, man. I love digging through your program archives. Going to continue to do that. Sad to hear that you're going off the air, but I'm sure that there'll be new chapters.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping, and I appreciate you calling and saying it. And the archives are where it's at, man. I mean, I got all there's stuff in there that I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons why I'm finishing up this particular phase, because I'm telling you, those people that I've spoken to over the last 4 years, they got it all. It's all there. You just got to go in there and dig it out, you know.
Right. And I remember, I guess it's been a couple months since I heard you say something about, inviting your listeners out to your spot in Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have to hold you to that someday if that's still an open invitation.
Well, you missed it. It was this last Saturday, and many of the listeners did come out, and we'll certainly do it again next year, and I'll make sure everybody knows about it. But yeah, you're welcome to, and we do it every year, radio or not, and it's always a really fun and cool celebration.
Right on, man. Well, I hope to be able to shake your hand someday, man.
Well,
thanks a lot.
I'd love to do it too. You take care. Thanks. Bye. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Once again, the phone number is 573-443-8255. And we got about 12 minutes or so before the end of the program here. I think the response and the, you know, the calls and all the comments I'm getting in email and in the chat, you know, thank you so much for all of it, you know, all you guys and girls. I do understand, you know, that the show means something to you, and that it has been a part of your life, you know, in one way or another. And it's, you guys have been a part of mine too, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. KOPN, this is Radio Orbit. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, Nick. Hi, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm processing. I'm processing.
I know, and I'm sorry if it was a shock, but it just has to be done.
I know. It was half my fault. It's one of the few nights ever that I've missed live broadcast, and I got in late, so I thought everybody was pulling my leg. You know, final show? What are you talking about?
Oh, man.
Anyway, I just had to get in and just, I don't know, words seem so insubstantial, but I just had to express my deep, heartfelt appreciation for you and the show and just everything, the community you've built and the people that you've connected and just everything. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for thanking me. Like I say, all these things are two-way streets, as Joseph Chilton Pierce said on the air 2 or 3 years ago, and I'll never forget it. He said, "Well, Mike, there are no one-way streets." And his point was that everything is about relationship, and everything is about, you know, the backwards and forwards communication between, whether it's between two human beings or whether it's between a human being and his government or a human being and his creator or a human being and a plant. It's all about relationships, and I've done my best to open my heart and my home and my life to in order to do that, in order to, you know, to give relationships an opportunity to, you know, to grow and first of all to be born and then to grow. And that's, it can be hard because sometimes you open yourself up for very nasty stuff, you know, and you get, but it's the way the world works, you know, and evolution and all this stuff, like John and I were talking about last week. I've laughed I've mentioned my friend Linda a couple times tonight, but her and I have laughed at times about this, one of my descriptions of evolution. And I always talk about how, in a very short, simple way to put it, you can say that understanding evolution is recognizing that something or someone is always trying to kill you. Right? I mean, whether it's a bug or whether it's a monkey with a gun or whether it's an old age or whatever it is, you know, this is the way it works. And your job, our job, individually and then collectively, is to survive. And, you know, you got to be able to take a punch or whatever. You know, you got to be able to, I mean, if you want to survive, you know, you got to be, it doesn't mean you got to look for getting punched. You know, you got to be, you know, intelligence is a big part of it, but you also have to be able to survive in a physical sense. And that's what we're all doing. And I'm still here, and that's actually surprising to some people, including me at times, you know. But I'm also not pushing it, you know what I mean? I said what I got to say. I've exposed whatever I felt was necessary to expose. I've shared important information that I thought was important. And, you know, now people can put it in their pipe and smoke it, you know.
Yeah, a little action.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but you're awesome, and I'm so glad that you and I have become friends, and we certainly will remain so. And you know, that's what this is about, and relationships that we're able to come from it. So.
Well, I appreciate everything so much, and I've greatly enjoyed the ride, and whatever the next step is, whatever it may be, I'm in.
All right. Well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, that's a great metaphor. It's like, okay, we'll get off the roller coaster, but there's another ride coming. But this is by no means the end of the show. It's just the end of this particular ride. So.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Take care of yourself.
You too.
All right, Nick. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Once again, we got time for maybe one or two more calls. It's about 7 minutes or so before the hour of 2 o'clock now. On the 24th of June, 2008, my name is Mike Hagan, and this program is Radio Orbit, and we'll be signing off the air, at least temporarily, permanently, in about 7 minutes. So if you like the program, thanks for listening. If you didn't like the program, well, lucky you, because now it's done. All right. I, of course, need to say thank you to not only the people who've been on the program and all the people at KOPN and all that stuff, and I've thanked them enough, I guess, but I also need to thank my ancestors and all of those who've come before me, my grandfathers, my grandmothers, my friends, my family, all the people that, you know, taught me enough about the world to convince me to do something like this and to, you know, to try. That's all, you know, just to try. And there are so many of those types of people, you know. I try to mention them on the program. When you listen to the archives, you'll hear, you know, at least for the last couple of years, you know, every Monday I'll mention somebody who had a birthday or somebody who died or on that particular day or during the previous or coming week or something like that. And, you know, all those people really are our ancestors. You know, it doesn't matter if you're related particularly, you know, via blood or genetics, but, you know, if you really want to go to the mat on it, we're all related genetically. We all come from the same stuff. And everything comes from the same stuff. We are all made of the earth. And everything around you is too. There's no getting away from it. There's no such thing as man-made. You know, there's man-manipulated, but man didn't make anything. Everything that man uses on this planet was provided to him, for him, by Tunkashila, the grandfather, and by Grandmother Earth. So, all man does is tinker with something that was already there. You know, grabs glasses and metals and ceramics and dirt and clay and biological entities and then, you know, messes with them, tweaks them, plays with them, sometimes very irresponsibly, sometimes not. You know, part of what we're supposed to do, you know, is to take stock of the natural world, learn about it, find out about it, because when we find out the truth of the matter, I think it's going to reveal an amazing, amazing miracle. And I think we're closing in on it fast. And I hope that I see y'all on the other side of it. All right? I got one last thing to say. And I'll say it right now. I love y'all. My name is Mike Hagan. And this has been Radio Orbit. You've been listening to it on KOPN Columbia 89.5 FM. And it's been a pleasure.
never change.